first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast, show number 126.
Hey.
Hey, we're all in a joyous mood today.
We've especially
got,
Dan.
We've got chirpy Dan Silver here.
Yeah.
It's in a lovely mood. We've got even chirpier Andy Franks.
I am in a chirpy mood.
You're always in a chirpy mood. Good Samaritan Andy Franks, helping out girls with dislocated knees this morning in
That's
the
true,
office.
What a check.
The girl we were just talking about, actually, she has a condition where occasionally her knee dislocates and then relocates, I suppose.
A bit of a leg-linking syndrome.
She only trains on a Friday and she can't play more than two games every 4 days. But other than that, she's all right. Yeah. But no, and of course, I'm Mike Coxon, 126. Couldn't really be fucked finding a fact, I'll be honest with you.
It's getting so tenuous, isn't it?
Yeah, my fact is that...
Do you know what as well? This was all started by previous host Jim Staples. Bored of it now, to be honest, anyway.
Yeah, but let's say 126 was the number of Nazi uniforms rented by Newcastle fans ahead of the derby at the weekend, and then they got embarrassed.
Nazi
and then they embarrassed
uniforms.
Us. Well, did you not hear all the...
I missed this.
All the... Because of Paolo Di Canio...
Looking about.
No, all the costume shops sold out of, like, old military uniforms and Nazi uniforms because they reckon Newcastle fans... Or allegedly they did. I didn't actually see any on the telly in the end.
No. Newcastle fans are quite clever, actually. They like their fancy dress at live games. Newcastle Town Centre sold out of berets, didn't they, after Pardew signed five French players in the transfer window.
Yeah.
And loads
new
of people
Chateau
still wearing berets.
Yeah. Yeah. But, anyway. Very clever to buy a load of Nazi outfits, and then even cleverer to go on the rampage and start punching police horses.
Well, we had talked about...
It's not limited to
horses.
Just Oxford,
it's spreading.
It's absolutely horrendous, and the video footage as well is really, but it did actually just make me chuckle, mainly just because of the reference that we'd already talked about horse punching on the show.
I'd like to think, you know, like Soccer AM years ago campaigned to get the star on the England badge for the World Cup, and other like newspapers are always campaigning. The Mirror at the moment is campaigning for the Rooney Rule to be brought in over here. I'd like to think that it's down to us that people are out there punching horses.
Have you seen what he said? He's actually come out and said that he's come out and said that it was in self-defence.
That horse had been saying nasty things all day.
What an absolute knobhead.
The horse had a knife on him, I heard.
There was a quote in the paper today or yesterday about his wife saying she only lets him out once every now and again, and he's actually really an animal lover, and couldn't believe that he actually punched a horse.
They've got a fish pond.
They've got a fish pond.
Yeah, he's always out there punching koi carp in the face.
What a man!
What a twat! Basically, but no, great win for Sunderland.
Absolute demolition.
Although, obviously, Newcastle had the perfectly good goal disallowed at 1-0. That might have changed the game massively.
The ref had a bit of a poor game.
The ref had a terrible game, yeah.
It was. Terrible.
He got a penalty decision wrong, he got an offside decision wrong, and he should have sent someone off as well.
Sunday was a wonderful day of football. It pretty much started from about midday, didn't it?
I think Saturday was a great day.
We'll go on to that. But Sunday was I don't think I moved from the couch from about midday to about
game,
6 o'clock in the evening. It was brilliant.
How dog shit are Stoke?
Oh no,
they're going.
I want
down.
Them to go down. Actually, I really do. They
well,
do
I've made my
for,
feelings
They do nothing for actually any sort of expansive football in the Premier League. Get rid of them.
Yeah, I mean, I've made my feelings very clear on Tony Pulis and Stoke before. And to be fair, they've got. They build an atmosphere at their stadium, which is, I suppose, the best thing I
can say. It is loud. No, it is really loud.
Yeah, but so do the nutcase, like, Turkey Millwall
fans, yeah. Albeit it's an atmosphere of hatred.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
What an embarrassment. Although, there was something like people saying it's endemic in English football, but there were 60 people arrested at Bayern Munich at the weekend for fighting. People found with knuckle dusters and stuff.
Was that their own fans as well fighting each other?
I doubt it was quite that. They're not that stupid, the Germans.
It was Montenegrins.
Montenegrins did it. And that was shocking for them as well. They were Athens, properly going for each other.
AEK Athens versus Olympiakos or Panathinaikos, one of the big Greek teams, was halted because of crowd trouble as well at the weekend. So
Fighting amongst your own fans is really starting to get...
There's a lot of allegations that they weren't Millwall fans. They were people who'd got into the Millwall area. Not necessarily Wigan fans, but Chelsea fans and West Ham fans and stuff that have bought tickets. Now, I've not heard any proof of that, but there's been allegations.
Whilst we're on the subject of violent fans, Portsmouth fans, right? Now, before...
You've been to Portsmouth?
Before Saturday, I had a lot of... lot of respect for Portsmouth fans, you know, and everyone sort of tended to feel a little bit sorry for them, you know, about how their football club sort of ended up in the situation it's in, until they turned up at Brentford Griffin Park on Saturday.
They didn't bring that fucking bell with them, did they?
They didn't actually bring the bell with them, but I tell you how bad, their fans were really, really bad. It's a great away fixture, getting down to Griffin Park. Four pubs, one on each corner of the ground, so it's a good away fixture. They've been down there from 11 o'clock as soon as the pubs open. I was in the Royal Oak from about 1 o'clock, and in that time, the bouncers in the Royal Oak had to call meat wagons down to eject racist supporters from the Royal Oak. I'm not going to repeat what was said. They also had to kick out a load of Pompey fans who were throwing drinks in plastic glasses at the bar staff. Absolutely terrible. They also managed to get hold of tickets to sit in various areas of the Brentford ground other than the away end. And fans had to be ejected through that as well.
Did anyone not
a very nice set of supporters. At the end of the game, they invaded the pitch as well.
Did any animals get punched?
Yeah. But
did anyone slap a seal or?
I thought of you.
Roger, some of the barmaids in the Royal Oak deserved it.
I was thinking of you on Saturday afternoon, I was playing footy in Griffin Park. I was playing as in the park next to Brentford's ground is Griffin
really?
Park. It's West London. So we were playing 1-6-2.
We were both at Griffin Park.
We were. So, and at one point, a massive cheer went up. And obviously, I thought of you. Brentford has scored. So, I was literally just around the corner from you.
It was just another Pompey fan being ejected.
And a bad result for Portsmouth. And as a result, it's been one of the deciding factors in them going down. They were going down anyway. I had no sympathy for their fans whatsoever. Now, and I used to share a bit of sympathy for them.
But have you been to Portsmouth?
Yeah. I have, actually.
Yeah, don't go back.
It's a nice day out going around the old docks.
What's it called?
Got some tickets to use to go there. It's lovely. I'd highly recommend it. Go past the Spinnaker Tower. Lovely day. No? Just me?
No.
Oh, well, Portsmouth are down anyway, along with Hartlepool and Bury.
And their fans are scum.
I think
the Championship's looking very, very
tasty. The Championship
tasty.
Is looking prime, isn't it?
I've actually got the table for
congratulations to Cardiff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean Cardiff-Swansea next season is going to be
the first time it's ever happened in the top flight.
There'll be a lot of crowd problems in that game.
Bear in mind, in the last 20 years, both of them have come within a result on the last day of the season of dropping out of the Football League.
Really?
In 96, Cardiff nearly went down, but Scarborough went. And then in 2003, I think it was Macclesfield or someone went down instead of Swansea. So, how fortunes have turned around, but...
The Hull looked like they pretty much shored up second place. I mean, they'd really...
Yeah,
they'd have to be a bit of a collapse.
If they win against Bristol City on Friday, Watford...
The worst form in the top six.
Palace.
Look at Palace.
Palace are dropping like
Palace lost.
Stone.
Did you see what team scored last night?
They haven't won a game in six. 3-0
to Ipswich.
3-0 to Ipswich.
Yeah.
And Ipswich are shit.
Yeah.
Like that is a terrible.
Palace have let it go.
I mean, Leicester beat Bolton, didn't they? 3-2 at home. That was a massive crunch game for that. Forest lost as well, I think, didn't they? Draw.
Forest did lose,
I think. They did lose. And Brighton, annoyingly, got a 0-0 draw at
Peterborough. Brighton will be all right for the playoffs, it looks like.
But the thing is, like, Brighton are on 66 points, having played 43. Palace have got a game in hand on 66, so you're thinking they're going to, you know, even if they...
Right.
But you're looking at 8th place, down at 8th place, well, is on 63.
The fact that 9th so place tight. Can still get relegated in Charlton, technically Charlton could still go down, it's almost impossible.
That,
it would take a lot of results,
it is,
but they're within points.
Down the bottom, boys, Wolves, they've managed to get a couple of wins recently. Well, they won in their last game as well. So Wolves are now out of the relegation battle.
But I love the fact when you say down the bottom, and where do you start from down the bottom? Because
it's basically from about 5th. Well, no, you probably look at from Burnley down, from about 17th, I would have thought.
I don't know. I'd say Ipswich in 13th. They're on 56 points. They're only 5 points ahead of the drop. But like,
it would take
three games to go, though. I think you can probably look a little bit further down.
Yeah.
It's great that clubs are now playing probably for prize money, and that a couple of wins you could finish a lot higher up the league, attract better players, get a bit more money.
I'm a bit surprised that Huddersfield have struggled, have fallen into the relegation.
Well. Losing Jordan Rhodes was a big loss for them at the start of the season.
He scored against them last night.
But no, back on Cardiff though, it's great because it now means there could be three Welsh teams in the top flight next season.
What is it, Dan? What's his name? Who said that?
It was Cardiff City, Swansea, and Vale.
How is that a Welsh team?
Because you're a one-man team,
silly.
I believe, is the implication.
It's silly. It's not even remotely funny. Ha, 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 ha. Someone showed me, that was it, Nick Wong in the office, showed me this picture of it. It was Simba talking to his dad on the mountain.
Yeah.
Dad, who's Gareth Bale? Oh, just some team from North London. What has that got to do with Simba and fucking what's-his-face? Mustafa.
That's completely wrong as well, because we all know Gareth Bale was the one in The Lion King that holds Simba up at the start to signal that he's been
born. This is what I mean. At least I have some sort of monkey reference, but what's it got to do? Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
But no, well, okay, well,
I'll tell you what,
we'll
the Championship's a tasty league, both up the top and down the bottom.
But having, let's say Cardiff, Hull, and Brighton. Say they managed to pull off a miracle.
I'd love Brighton to go up.
I would love Brighton to go up.
But
three teams, you know, even if you pick out, you know, Watford or Palace coming up, like, there's three teams that
realistically could stay up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, A, realistically could stay up, and B, that haven't had much presence in the Premier League for a
long
time. Well,
that's the thing that I'm quite excited about, and the only team I really don't want to come up is Bolton, and that's nothing against Bolton, nothing against Nick, who we all love.
Well, maybe
a bit.
Actually, I don't like him anymore. He hasn't come on the show.
I don't want his missus in the top flight, because God knows what will happen to her. She won't be safe.
Well, I don't think Nick will like
but you're right. I'd love Brighton to go up.
The last one of all those teams that were in the top flight, if you exclude Hull, were pretty much is Watford in 2007. Yeah. So you're going to have someone who's not been there. I'd love Forest to go up, simply because they're such a big club.
With Brighton, the way they're moving forward, ground, everything like that, and so the fact that my old man's a season ticket holder now.
The only problem for me with Brighton going up is it'll be an absolute pain in the arse to drive around Brighton on a Saturday or Sunday.
I don't
think they'll care about that too much if the A23 is closed in places.
No.
I don't think they'll lose a
seat. On the note of how competitive the Championship is, you can't not mention League One.
And over to our lower league correspondent, Andy Franks.
You cannot ignore just how great League One is looking at the moment. First of all, you've got 7-8 teams who can still go up. Look down the bottom. You've got another 7-8 teams who can go down.
Shrewsbury and Oldham with a game in hand, though. Pretty big.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty difficult big. For Scunthorpe to get out of that.
Yeah, if Shrewsbury and Oldham win their games in hand, then you're looking at, Colchester and Scunthorpe
it would need Scunthorpe to well obviously it need them to win their last two games and Colchester to lose their last two, but up the top, I mean, it would be even more interesting had Brentford
beaten Sheffield United. Did anyone hear about the game that happened on Tuesday night?
Tom Lemons did.
Three red cards, four penalties, two for each team. One scored, one missed for each team.
Bloody hell.
There were 11 yellow cards.
What?
10 minutes of extra time and an 89th minute equaliser. I mean, that as a game is it's got everything, isn't it? I mean, and that just shows what it means.
Everything and then some.
In the pursuit of going up, and obviously I'm biased towards Brentford, but you know, Sheffield United have played their part in a fantastic game of football.
Well, who are they playing?
Sheffield United against Brentford.
That was your game.
Bramall
Lane. Oh shit!
Yeah, that was Bramall Lane.
That is an absolutely outrageous game.
Both of us are in the hunt, you know, for you know, a promotion place without having to get in the lottery of the playoffs, and it's still open. I mean, for us, massively, we've got Hartlepool away on Saturday, and you know they've gone down, so you'd think that maybe we've got an edge there.
Yeah.
And then we've got Doncaster on the last game of the season at our place.
That would be great.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
if you two are top of the league, that would be great. But speaking of absolutely crazy games, did you see the Scottish Cup semi-finals at the weekend?
No, I saw the back and forth of it.
Redonkulous.
Redonkulous
is the only way to describe it. Yeah,
Jesse J.
Oh no,
that's her word.
I'm using it in the How I Met Your Mother context. Trust me.
Who's Jesse J? Yes. I thought better from you, Franco. No, I mentioned it the other day. I think it was her fault. Spurs lost. Or drew.
It's always her fault. Everything's her fault. Terrible musician. Absolutely awful. But the first one, Falkirk Hibernian. Falkirk, obviously a second tier club in Scotland, which may all change with the crazy changes they're going on about. They've been vetoed this week. Absolute shambles of a game up there. But they were 3-0 up at half time against Hibs and lost 4-3 in extra time.
And then 3-0 up and lost 4-3.
The second game, Celtic versus Dundee United. Celtic were 2-1 behind, won 4-3. So,
Do you want to go 2-1, 2-0, 3-2, 3-0, 4-3?
Something like that.
I think it was literally yo-yo.
Absolutely great. And for a league that is dying on its arse like Scotland is, they need that bit of time.
Is that an official analysis? It's dying on its arse?
It genuinely is in dire straits.
I didn't understand the whole league structure, like the new proposal for it, was baffling to me, really. Like the three teams, and then one goes into it.
The problem is, all the bigger clubs don't want to lose playing Rangers and Celtic 3 or 4 times a season because they get the biggest turnouts for that. If you have a big league, if you go 14-16, you end up only playing them twice a season. That's, for me, the crux of the problem.
Right.
But we have actually had an email from a Rangers fan, Bede McKenna, who enjoyed the show last week. But wanted to correct us on a couple of things about Rangers. You know, we were discussing whether or not they actually went bust.
Well,
he's pointed out that they are a new company. The same thing, though, happened to Leeds United, who aren't considered to have gone out of business.
Yep.
Rangers still considered to be the same club under SFA, UEFA, and EFA, whatever that is, considerations.
You map it. According to the SFA, UEFA, and EFA, Rangers are the same club.
Yes, but who are the EFA? That's what I'm trying to say.
Is it not EFA?
No.
Oh, the English EFA. FA?
Yeah, oh, maybe. Who gives a fuck what they think?
I thought this was meant to provide clarity.
Well, no, but it will.
What do you mean? Who are they? We've got SFA, Scottish FA.
Yes, but UEFA, we're just the FA.
Well, he's obviously...
We're the FA.
Well, he doesn't like saying that, does he?
Well, maybe not. But Rangers as a club were formed in 1872. The company that no longer exists was formed in 1899, so afterwards. And technically hasn't been liquidated yet, so the company still exists as well, so nothing's gone bust whatsoever.
So is that you just trying to prove yourself right over Jim Staples?
No, it's Bede McKenna trying to prove me right over Jim Staples.
Right.
God bless him. He says the main reason people think this is while Fiorentina, Napoli and Leeds may or may not have been liquidated in the past and gone out of business, they don't have angry Celtic fans lying about them. So there you go, a nice level-headed response. Thanks for emailing, Bede.
Yeah, keep
much
coming
appreciated.
In.
And the final league we can talk about is League Two.
Well, League Two. So, lads, another
really interesting
league.
That Jules haven't actually won it yet.
Well,
and actually, apparently, our very own Jim Staples has gone and put a bet on 33-1 that Port Vale end up winning the league.
Yeah,
traitor.
Yeah. Well,
he said it'll be a good piss up and. If they do,
well, I mean, there's
questionable.
A lot of debate about that sort of attitude towards your team. But if I mean, they only need a point.
I don't think anyone can really question Jim's attitude towards his team, given that he's got a Gillingham tattoo.
Yeah.
But,
and he goes to most games.
Yeah, But one person, or one group of people, looking forward to Gillingham winning the league are our friends at Football Fans Down Under, who, when Gillingham win the league, they're going to get a signed photo from Emily the Gillingham Gem, who they sponsor, and also Joe Martin, who they also sponsor, Alvin's son, sent over to them. So they're excited.
They've done well to pick that team for this season. Yeah.
And also, one of those guys, Tommy, is going to be over in the UK in
Tommy
a few
Silver.
Weeks. So hopefully we're going to get him on the show.
Tommy Silver, the Spurs fan.
Tottenham fan, yeah. He's going to be over in the UK.
Get him involved.
We're going to try and get him down.
We had Jess. I hope he's not as mean as Jess.
Oh, Jess was a harsh taskmaster.
Terrifying.
Her boyfriend was quite nice.
Yeah, really
she
nice
was
fella.
Lovely as well, to be fair. She brought us a lot of presents.
I brought him presents, but yeah. I was terrified. Didn't want to argue with her.
Well, no. Having been on nights out in Surfers Paradise and Byron Bay and places like that, I don't want to argue with any Aussie woman when she's in a pub having a few drinks. To be fair.
Fair enough. But,
controversial. You
know, yeah, that's a bit mean, I suppose. You know, we haven't actually spoken about the top flight.
We don't need to. It's not real football.
Well, I don't even get me started on the debate of it's not real football.
Yeah.
I'll even,
I think he's been a bit antagonistic.
I'll tell you what, I will have to mention David Luiz's Thunder Bastard last night.
What a Thunder Bastard.
What an absolute Thunder Bastard.
And,
what a strike that
Andy
was.
Andy Carroll's Thunder Bastard in a very different way when he took out, it was like 10-pin bowling, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were saying that Vidic pushed him as he was jumping. Vidic didn't touch him. He's absolutely launched himself
and
at the hair. Did you also see
him scrape his studs down Wayne Rooney's leg and elbow Nemanja Vidic?
I thought it looked like Rooney was doing it. Did the same thing to him as well.
Oh yeah, they're both tits.
Yeah, they're both tits.
Interesting debate on actually some of the activity that goes on in the 6-yard box. You know, when a free kick or a corner is delivered, and you know that challenge which Carroll put on the keeper last night.
Oh, terrific.
If that was in the centre of the pitch, I mean...
You can look at a red.
Yeah.
I look at a red. He's not going... He's not even looking at the ball.
No.
He's absolutely
flattered
the keeper.
There's so much shirt pulling. There's, you know, there's so much, you know, vying for trying to get to the near post, trying to get to the far post. Yeah.
Well, I was speaking to an Arsenal fan the other day, and he said the penalty they got at the weekend was an absolute farce. He said it was... And this is from an Arsenal fan.
He
said there was a little bit of a tug, but nothing you'd expect. A bit of handbags in the box, and the referee pointed to... it wasn't the referee. It was the lino that was 70 yards away, put his flag on. And everyone in the stadium has gone, like, what? A pen? Yeah, what? No idea. And it's all. Yeah. It's all.
It's actually one of the most frustrating things. It's for football fans worldwide.
It's a consistency.
There's such an inconsistency between decisions that are made in open play and decisions made in a dead ball situation.
Well, it's just inconsistency amongst referees anyway. When I was playing at Griffin Park at the weekend, we had a ref. He was an absolute knob. You could not say a single word to him. Not even a ref. How long we got left? I'll worry about that. Don't you worry about that. Oh, come on, ref. Like, do us a favour. I'm only asking what the time is. He gave every single foul, like a little nudge, little anything, he gave it as a foul. But he consistently gave everything. And at the end of the game, we came off and went, he was a complete dickhead.
Well, that just means you've got to go down.
But you knew what you were going to do. You knew you were getting from Giz. He was consistently crap, as far as we were concerned. But, well, I mean, we still won 6-6.
At least he was consistent.
He was consistent. And then that's the most frustrating thing about referees, is that it's the inconsistency that drives you mad.
And there's been an awful lot of inconsistency at the moment, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, look at the...
Van Persie's goal was offside last night.
Yeah. Everton-Arsenal, I mean, the ref completely bottled it. Gibson should have
won.
I heard.
You know who did bottle it? Kevin Morales.
He did.
Right in Jack Wiltshire's face.
Yeah.
That was. I hate Jack Wiltshire. He's a great player, but he's a little shit.
He is a little shit.
You won't like to bump into him on a night out.
You'd change your tune if he was playing for United.
Oh, yeah, if he comes to United, he's great. But
actually, one player who will be playing for United, it's going to be Barkley, isn't it? He's got Man United written on his shirt already.
I hope he hasn't. I wouldn't be very happy if I was an Evertonian and he did. But he looks like it.
You'd be happy as a United fan.
He looks like. There was a lot of talk about him, and he seemed to have gone quiet for a couple of years, but he's starting to look like he's...
He had a few discipline problems, and Moyes has gone and sorted that out and made him realise, you know, where his place in the team is. But he looks like he's a pretty strong player. Let's hope he's slightly better finished article than Jack Rodwell.
Well,
good old... Jack Rodwell, it's not his full flesh, he's got no hamstrings. Yeah. But anyway, good old Super Sunday coming up this weekend.
Great Super Sunday.
Yeah, two massive games.
Massive games.
Liverpool-Chelsea...
And Spurs, Man City.
Could completely change the face of the Champions League.
Yeah. I mean, it is still unbelievable. I mean, Liverpool have got to be out of the running. But
they've still got a say in who finishes in the top four.
Well, there's a few clubs that do.
If they beat Chelsea, then Arsenal are suddenly in a much stronger position.
There's quite a few clubs that do, though, because United have got to play Chelsea and Arsenal. Fulham, who played Chelsea last night, have still got to play Everton and Arsenal.
Spurs have still got to play Chelsea and Man City.
Everton have still got to play Chelsea and have just played Arsenal. So there's going to be a very few clubs influencing what actually goes on.
There's a week in a couple of weeks' time, whereas there's nearly a game for about 10 days straight or something like that. There's nearly a game every single day.
My miss is going to be happy with that.
I was just going to say, anyone with a miss is going to be fucking devastated.
It's the best time of the season, isn't it? The running towards the end. Because it's a bit like Christmas. It gets better and better in the run-up, and then the day after it's Boxing Day and it's shit and you've got a hangover.
No, Boxing Day is my favourite day. No, it's the day after Boxing Day. I love Boxing Day.
I suppose if your team's done well, then Boxing Day is a lovely day, or the day after the season.
Yeah.
But
also, in fixtures coming up, Champions League's fantastic. I mean, we've got potentially an all-German or all-Spanish final.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying I really didn't want. Really, really didn't want. Really wanted an all-German, all-Spanish semis, so then we had a Germany-Spain final, which I think would have been a lot better than a Spain-Spain final or a Spain-Germany final.
I'd love it if Dortmund end up winning the competition.
I'd love it if... Yeah. But I do think that Bayern Munich versus Dortmund could be a bit of an underwhelming final.
I think you need a bit of Spanish flair in there.
That's what I mean.
It would probably be a great final on the pitch, but it's not exciting enough, whereas Real Madrid-Barcelona,
the
atmosphere is going to be spectacular.
If you look at the forward lines of Munich and Dortmund, you've got Ribery, Robben, Mario Götze,
Lewandowski,
fantastic attacking.
I just don't think that the two teams from the same country that play each other week in week, every season, playing in the Champions League final, it's not quite as special as having from
when you remember the United Chelsea Champions League final the other year, and that was pretty dire, to be fair, isn't
it?
Football.
It was a great game to watch. It wasn't necessarily very entertaining. No, it was a very interesting game to watch.
Because we're English.
Yeah. Well, probably.
Really, if you look at it, because I don't imagine a lot of the other countries would have been as exciting.
The only other two finals with both teams from one nation, I think, it was Real Madrid Valencia, which no one really remembers. Steve McManaman won Man of the Match, so that says a lot.
He had an absolute blinder during that
game. And the Juventus AC Milan final at Old Trafford, which is maybe the worst 120 minutes of football I've ever watched.
But Zidane did score one of the best goals you've ever seen.
That was Leverkusen Real Madrid.
Oh, Leverkusen, yeah.
No, the only thing notable about that game that I remember is Shevchenko knocking the ball one side of the Juventus right back, must have been Zambrotta or Birindelli or someone, and then running off the pitch and around him, just like fucking Grease Lightning. I'm not going to break into song.
I nearly did. I very nearly
and
did.
And just absolutely skinned him. But then he ended up...
I forgot who Shevchenko was.
He was a fantastic striker day. Whatever happened. Even on his debut, he scored a lovely goal for Chelsea. And then all downhill. It's a shame. But
that was because he lost his partnership with Sergei Rebrov.
Yeah.
Who's that? Unsung hero. Should we do a little... Now that we've got the semi-finals drawn, Dan, who do you think is going to win Champions League?
It's a good question. I back Mourinho's magic.
Coxon?
If it's an all Spanish final, Real Madrid. If it's an all
I didn't give it there.
Typical United fan.
I'll say Bayern Munich.
There we go.
I'm going to go for Dortmund. I'll be controversial.
Is that just pure through, not either you think they're actually going to win, but you just really like to see them win?
I think they're in the semi-finals for a reason.
Just by the skin of their...
Barcelona, we're talking about seconds, Dan.
I'm going to go Clive Tiltley on you. Do you remember that night in Barcelona in 1999? Skin of your teeth. Sometimes you need that.
No, I don't remember.
Sometimes you
Michael.
Need that. Yeah. Do you want me to tell you about it?
No, I think we can move on.
Word for word, the commentary of the last 3 minutes, if you want.
Can
Man United score? They always
score.
Sorry about that.
Oh, God.
But, no, more heartwarming news, though. We'll move on from that. Cillian Petrov's in remission.
Is he?
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Blimey, that's been going on for a long time.
You've seen a picture of him in the paper today, though.
Thank God he is getting better. The intensive treatment's over. He is going to have to take tablets for the next 2 years. I think a return to playing seems to be off the cards now.
Yeah, well,
I'd be very surprised. But he's got a role in coaching or some sort of ambassadorial role.
And I'm sure Celtic would offer him one as well.
Yeah, I think they would. Yeah.
Fair play to the Villa fans who continue to the 90th minute.
Yeah, they clap on the 90th minute, didn't they? Yeah.
End of the day, I'm sure he doesn't really give it. No, not doesn't really give a shit about football.
But he's happy to be alive.
Yeah, that's just really good news. So.
Actually, one of the things I wanted to talk about, and you mentioned it briefly at the start of the show, but the ruling that we're going to try and get some more black managers, ethnic minority managers involved in running football clubs. Because at the moment you've got five in the top 92 clubs in the English leagues. By all accounts, it seems like as of next season, League Two will trial the Rooney rule, where each club that is looking for a new manager has to interview at least one manager of an ethnic minority.
There's
a lot of decent ex-footballers who have now pro coaching licenses who should be given at least a chance to speak to a club
it's a very controversial subject, and it's very difficult to, it's very easy to slip up and say so, but I'm all for that. I'm so up for giving people the opportunity, but what I am against
it's a results driven business.
I am against is like when you sort of go towards the South African side of things, where you have to have at least X amount of minority players. That's what I mean. Yeah. Or you have to have at least X amount of black managers. No, if someone's good enough for the job, give them the job.
But the debate is that they're not even being given the chance to apply for the job.
This is why this is really interesting.
Do it in League Two, so you've got a load of ex-professional footballers that we said who have got the pro coaching licences now. Give them the chance to try and persuade the ideas,
if they look like they've got the talent for it, absolutely.
It's just depressing that there clearly is chairman out there who won't consider a black candidate, even though they've applied for a job. And they just think,
and a lot of football clubs have got, there's a 50-50 split of, white players and then players of other skin colour, so there's nothing to say that.
And to be honest, ultimately, at the end of the day, the colour of skin doesn't seem to matter at all when it comes to how well you can manage or in anything. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's daft. I mean, there's been some great black managers. Look at Chris Hughton's done a great job both at Newcastle and Norwich.
Hughton's doing well.
Paul Ince has done a terrible job at Blackpool.
Yeah, he's not doing
it. But at Blackpool, he's struggling as well.
Yeah. Paul Ince has got a bit of a Midas touch, hasn't he?
He's got a gold finger.
Lost him.
That's for sure. You've lost the sheet of paper. Oh, there we are. So, Blackpool currently, not a bad run of form, actually.
I know, yeah. Hang on,
they're unbeaten in the last five.
Yeah, drawn 3-1-2.
This is the level of expertise you've come to know and love from the football podcast. He's doing shit. Oh, no, wait, he's just won the league.
Yeah.
God, don't get me started on that Alex Ferguson. What's he ever done?
Alex Ferguson, is he going to get rid of Rooney?
Hang on, come back there. But I'll tell you what, Ipswich have done bloody well to turn their season around up into 30.
Oh, yeah.
Considering that they're on minus 13 goal difference.
Fucking hell, really?
And set up at 13 and still managed
play to Mick McCarthy. Look at Wolves by comparison.
But the next worst goal difference is in 22nd place on minus 25. But how you can be sitting in 13th place on minus 13 goal difference is
just shows how you turn it around.
It's quite impressive.
Fair play.
It's ridiculous. What else have we seen in the world of football?
I wanted to know what you thought about Rooney leaving your
Not going to happen.
I've got a few interesting things that have happened from the world of football. Dan Silva's about to leave us.
He's going to do it quietly, but
I've got a naughty boy of the week, and actually it's not from the week of football that we've just had. But has anyone
Is this your
heard,
referee?
Has anyone heard about the Bulgarian Raging Bull?
I have heard about this, and it's a wonderful story, and I'll leave it in your capable hands to tell it.
Yeah.
Well, as we all know, an early sending off is a frustrating incident for any manager. Antony Zdravkov, sorry if I pronounced the name wrong.
I'm sure he's listening.
I'm sure he is. I want him to open a Twitter account.
He'll be snapping his iPod in half as he listens to this now because you pronounced his name wrong.
There's absolutely no way you can think that this guy doesn't care about his team and the results they bring in. So he reacted a tad strongly to one of his players being dismissed at the weekend. And basically, he stole the referee's cards from his hands and attempted to rip them up into pieces. The really funny thing about this is that the ref had gone over into him just to try and calm it down a little bit. And this is when the manager actually grabs.
Surely he knows the cards are made of plastic.
Well,
you'd be better off trying to fold them in half and snap them.
I tell you what, it didn't stop him trying.
Cards.
If anyone wants to watch it, the video is hilarious. It's on the BBC website. And yeah, it's fantastic. It's very, very funny watching a Bulgarian madman trying to rip up a ref's cards. Apparently, he didn't actually get ejected into the stands either.
Didn't they?
Be interesting to see what happened in the Premier League. Obviously, it's a common occurrence. The other great bit of video footage for anyone who likes a bit of YouTube or anything is one of the best or worst penalties you've ever seen.
Oh, the Brazilian lad.
A guy called Pelo. He's, who plays for America. He was playing against a team I'm going to struggle to pronounce in the Brazilian State Championships.
Let's just call them Stoke.
We'll call them Voto Poranguense.
Oh, similar to Stoke.
Anyway, he managed to kick the ball marginally backwards and completely sideways instead of forwards.
It needs to be seen to be believed. We'll get those videos up on the website.
I encourage anyone to go and watch either of those videos. They are pure class.
Well, one little bit of news from me. Now, when you think of superstar celebrities, I think it would be fair to say that amongst the most famous people in the world is Madonna, the popular singer slash songwriter slash shriveled old goat. But she's been compared to someone slightly less internationally renowned, unless you're from the Malawian government. Basically, you know, she's got two little lads from Malawi.
I can't believe this is true.
She's got two little kids from Malawi, and she went there to visit recently and got a bit huffy because the president of the country wouldn't meet her, and she had to queue with all the normal passengers to get on planes and stuff. The Malawian government have released a statement, which subsequently has been refuted by the president, who I think is trying to mend relations a bit. But they have said, if the argument is that because she is an internationally renowned star, Madonna believes she deserved to be treated differently from other foreign visitors, it is worth making her aware that Malawi has hosted many international stars. And here's a list of the stars they gave, including Chuck Norris, bit random.
In the 80s.
Bono, yeah, fair enough, one of the most famous men in the world.
Yeah.
David James, Rio Ferdinand, and Gary Neville. Who have never demanded state attention or decorum, despite their equally dazzling stature. So that
Gene and Madonna,
you've heard it here.
In the same
Gary
sentence.
Neville has an equally dazzling stature to that of Madonna.
Well,
and I think that's fair enough. You know, one other note: A-League Grand Final this weekend. It's going to be Western Sydney Wanderers in their first season against Central Coast Mariners. Very exciting. I know we've got listeners from both clubs, so good luck to you both.
Hey, good luck.
No real news on Hearts, apart from the fact that
they're not going to make the playoffs.
Well, they've not made the playoffs, and the Herald Sun have ranked their season as a D plus. So, bit of a shame, but all better for next season.
It's not a fail.
It's not a fail,
it's
no.
Not a fail. It's technically... Actually, when you go home and you tell your dad, you know, how you did in the exams, you tell him D plus, you are expecting a bit of a twat around the end. But it's not a fail.
There's a lot of universities that take you on a D plus.
There are.
Bolton Institute, I'm sure they'd have you. So, head up, Hart, you'll get into a polytechnic. Right, on that note, I think that's us for the week. You know the normal score. Email us, banteroffootballpodcast.co.uk. facebook.com/thefootballpubcast. Complaints always go to @SimonHead. Visit us, footballpubcast.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter, @footballpubcast. We really appreciate all the things you send in to us. I think at the end of the season, because we've had a lot of great questions from listeners this week that we should be discussing, I think we're going to have
a
listener question and answer show. So I know Tim Bevan's wanted us to talk about unsung heroes pretty much since show 3, I think, and we never have. So send in your questions at the end of the season. We'll build them all up and we'll just fire through them. Have a good week, guys, and we will see you next Thursday.
See you later.